What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Hey y'all, it's Superfan Stefan calling again from Minnesota. Thank you for the moniker bestowed last week, John. I really like that. I'm proud to be that you consider me that. I'm wondering what unrated cuts of horror movies are your favorites. Another one of mine is the Dawn of the Dead remake, which to me improved in every aspect on an already great movie. The gore was much more well done, in addition to some good kind of character development that it had that the original cut did not. Thank you so much, and keep up with the great work. Bye.
Thanks, Stefan. Always a pleasure to have our longtime listeners and callers to be bestowed. So we'll do t-shirts. At some point, we'll have t-shirts. And when we'll figure out super fan status, and when someone hits that, we'll send you a t-shirt or something. That sounds like something I can't follow up on or back up in any way, shape, or form.
The internet will hold you accountable, right? Theoretically.
I don't. I'm off a lot of it. So okay. Okay, but favorite unrated cuts. I'm buying time. I'm struggling to keep my head above water right now. Megan, how about you?
I have a lot of them. Am I just doing, I should do one at a time? One.
I would love it if you named a bunch,
yeah,
and then I could be like,
all.
Oh, yeah, totally that one.
Okay, so I kind of expanded beyond just unrated and just kind of like alternate cut, unrated director's cut it. This is probably a hot take here, but I actually like the director's cut of Alien 3. I think it's a stronger story, and a lot of the xenomorph stuff makes way more sense. I think a lot of the subplot stuff makes more sense in the director's cut. So is it strong as the first two? No, but I enjoy it. And The Exorcist, the theatrical version where they like re-released it and added the spider walk and some other things into it, the subliminal imagery, real good.
Yep.
Guillermo del Toro, he notoriously had a hard time making Mimic with studio interference. So if you want to see his more religious, thematic, heavy version, I like his cut of Mimic. Army of Darkness has multiple cuts, all of them gold and all of them vastly different. Obviously, I love the unrated cut of Evil Dead 2013. I like director's cuts. I don't know. So yeah, I'm going to stop there.
See, my problem is with something, a question like this, is I'm not entirely sure when I've seen a director's cut and when I've seen the original. So sometimes I watch the director's cut not noticing or paying attention if it's on Prime or something like that. And I know it calls it out in parentheses usually, but I'm not necessarily paying attention when I see it. So, or I just don't know the difference. Like with The Exorcist, I think is a great example. Like, yes, the crab walk up the stairs and then the Mr. Howdy or whatever, his face like popping up. But those, to me, those things are so iconic that even if I watched the theatrical version, I might kind of forget and just like think that I saw it in my head. Like it's just kind of ingrained.
Like, yeah, you've seen it so many times. You just, that
it's like,
together.
Oh, maybe I just missed it. Did I go to the bathroom during that part? Or was I, did I do something? I don't know. Did I stand up while someone was playing piano and take a leak on the floor? I don't know. Maybe. It happens. We're not perfect.
You're a party animal.
Yeah. How about you, Zena?
You know, I'm not going to lie. This movie, this question kind of stressed me out a little bit because similar to you, John, like I don't always pay attention. But I mean, clearly, I just watch it. I know if they say it in the poster or they say, well, this is the unrated version. I'm like, okay, you know, but it's like, you know, sometimes when you watch a lot of movies, next thing you know, it's a blur. But I will say this because I have the DVD or Blu-ray. Well, I don't anymore. It's stuck at my parents' house and I need to get it back. But anyway, with the movie Stay Alive from 2006, and I recently talked about this one or whenever, but basically there's an extra 15 minutes where it is bloody and gory and wonderful. Yeah. Also, I know that, you know, he didn't ask this question, but you know what I'm still waiting for? I'm still waiting for that unrated cut of Cursed. Like, I really think that they should just give it to us. Please and thank you.
Yeah. I have an answer for John that I'm surprised this isn't his default for everything, but Hell House LLC, the director's cut.
You know, that's a completely different conversation altogether.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
I think there are pros and cons to both versions.
Yeah.
There's certain scenes that I like seeing the additional content.
Yeah.
And there's some of it where I'm like, okay, I could see why they streamlined that. They kind of shifted that around, sped things up. And it's one of those two. I saw the first one, or I said the original or the theatrical version or the standard version, whatever you want to call it, at least 6, 8, 10 times before I saw the director's cut. So I watched the director's kind of like, oh, okay. Oh, that's new. Oh, there's a little longer. They're hanging the thing and someone walked by. And, I get it. But, you know, like to say that it's definitively better, like, no, because I like them both.
No.
Yeah. You know, honestly, in my head, the only movies, I can only think of two movies, honestly, where I definitively know the difference between the director's cut and the standard edition. And one of them is Justice League, and that's because Zack Snyder made a completely different movie.
Isn't it like twice the length?
Yeah, and it's like 2 hours longer.
Yeah.
And the other one is Blade Runner, because I was a huge Blade Runner fan, and I've seen like all the versions, and it's very, and because of all the talk behind it, like which version's definitive, which is better, which is da-da-da.
Yes.
So, honestly, I fall into that category so much where I'm like, I'm not even sure which one I saw.
Who knows? Yeah.
So I'll just agree with all the ones you said and we'll move on to our next question. This one we got via text. Hey guys, the Scream franchise is well known for creating great cold opens. I think Scream 4 may be my favorite of the franchise cold opens. Interesting take. There have been other great cold opens in horror for decades. Some of the standouts to me outside of Scream over the years include 28 Weeks Later. That's a good one.
Yes, it is.
Friday the 13th, 2009 is a very good one.
Yes.
Zack Snyder's Dawn of the Dead. Mm-hmm. All across the board. All wins. There's so many other great ones. I just really set the tone and expectations about what you are going into. What do you guys think are some of the best cold opens? And because I have an answer, I'm going first.
Okay.
And I'm just going to throw out the layups.
Okay.
I personally adore the original Scream's cold open. That's me. It's just where Scream is in my heart and within the franchise. And I think, I mean, like, there's no hot takes on what I'm about to say. Halloween, the original. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on. Like, it's just iconic at this point, whether it makes sense or not, or you want to pick things apart or whatever. Doesn't matter. Like, that blows everything else out of the water. And Jaws. I just rewatched Jaws on a plane this last week, and I also stand by that Robert Shaw's speech about the Indianapolis is one of the greatest scenes ever put to film.
Really good. Not in the opening, but really good.
It's not in the opening, but I'm going to...
We'll give it a shout out.
You know what? It's the beginning, middle, and end for me. I will just watch that scene over and over.
Over and over.
And then I got to say, Ghost Ship.
Yes.
It just belongs on there. I just watched Ghost Ship again like a week or two ago. I'm like, I got to watch it. It's the open. Mm-hmm. And then I'll just keep watching it. We're good. How about you, Zena?
I definitely agree with Ghost Ship. I know people who do not like that movie, but they love the opening.
So you got to love the opening. Yeah.
That just proves it. But I'm going to go with It Follows.
Yeah,
that one, like, you know, is years later, I still think about it. Like, what's the story behind her, you know? And then also, I'm surprised that you didn't say, John, The Ritual, because it was just kind of like, it was rough. But
The Ritual is almost more painful for me, like, because it's brutal, because the guy's just a dick.
Yeah.
And he's pushing his friends. They're not in the same place. Mm-hmm. He's that asshole who's dragging them all down.
Yeah.
And then he's a coward in the face of his friend dying.
That's horrible.
Spoilers. Go watch The Ritual. Come on.
Really good movie. But yeah, I agree with you. But for me, it was just more rough. But it left me curious.
But it's amazingly powerful. Mm-hmm. It's a powerful way to to start a horror movie that's not even technically about what you see, but it is.
Yeah. And then just the last one, because I recently just rewatched this for a little razzle dazzle, Terrified. I love opening.
Always and forever, yes.
Very magical movie. Megan.
Well, I have Ghost Ship on my list as well. So go us.
Yeah.
Dark Trio approved opening there.
Yeah.
The Conjuring, because it's a cold open, literally created a spinoff franchise.
Yeah.
The Stepfather, the original 1987. Mm-hmm. That opening is so creepy and so good at setting the stage. I feel like that's the only blood, the real blood the movie has. So they use that well. And then one that is a huge favorite, kind of like Terrified in the sense it's a rare cold open that legit terrifies me, When a Stranger Calls Back, the sequel.
Oh,
yeah.
That whole opening sequence is like an urban legend nightmare that is so well done that it's kind of like Ghost Ship in that the rest of the movie isn't nearly as thrilling as that opening. But I love you anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to do two more.
Okay.
Even though that was a really great segue. normally that's a kind of segue that I hold on to really hard and then drive into the next part.
Wow.
But Twilight Zone, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
That's a classic open with Dan Aykroyd and Albert. He's such a good actor. It's so mean that I don't remember his name. Anyway. And then The Ring. Like The Ring, the open to The Ring is... very classic, very like, what the hell is going on? Like, that's such a great setup, and it could have been just a short movie in itself, and yeah, fantastic. And here's a little more clumsy transition. Speaking of fantastic, welcome to the Bloody Disgusting Podcast, everyone, the podcast where we discuss all the disgusting things we love in the horror world. And to help us discuss the disgusting, you know her as lead movie critic for Bloody Disgusting, horror movie fanatic and journalist Megan Navarro. Hey, Megan.
Hi.
And you know her from YouTube channel and website Real Queen of Horror and Infant Love for the Genre, Zena Dixon. Hey, Zena.
Hello.
And I'm John. And quick apology that we didn't let everybody know that we weren't recording an episode last week. I know that I was going to try and remember, and then I didn't. And then I shrugged
then
and
moved on.
Did you miss us? Because
I knew we were
going to
record. Yeah. Did you guys miss us? I missed Zena and Megan. I hope you guys did too.
Aww.
If you're listening to this on a Wednesday when the episode drops, we hope your week's been filled with all the best kinds of horror. And if not, we're going to do a quick round the table for the movies, books, games, or anything else in horror that are making the three of us smile right now. Maybe there'll be things that'll make you smile too. So I'm going to start.
Dun, dun, dun.
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool.
Cool.
Right. Cool. Because at first, normally you go, oh, well, I'm going to start with Zena. And I was going to say, please, God, no, I need some time. I don't know what's going to you know, but then you didn't. So it's okay.
And I wanted to save our listeners from all of that so they didn't have to hear any of that. So
they like hearing it.
I'm going to start out with Zena's pick for me from 2 weeks ago, which is 2018's Monster Party on Tubi. Three young thieves infiltrate a Malibu dinner party, one trying to save his father from a loan shark, the others trying to make a life for their unborn child. Little did they know the danger they've just walked into. I actually wrote that.
Oh,
IMDb did not give me a synopsis. Why this one, Xena?
Because I loved Lance Reddick. You know, he's just, he was so amazing. And then also, it just, when I remember when I first watched it, it just felt so fresh. You know, that was a little twist that I didn't see coming. And yeah, I just thought it was a good time.
My only issue with the movie, and again, and I love Lance Reddick too. I loved him so much in Fringe. Fringe was a great show, but Lance Reddick, like every time he was on screen, like the gravitas that man had was unbelievable. My only issue is maybe it's because I just watched Bodies, Bodies, Bodies too, that I'm kind of tired of watching rich people be assholes.
It's fun though.
Like, I know rich people are assholes. And like, yes, there's comeuppance, and it was a little bit like, yeah, I want bad things to happen to you faster. Like, make them happen faster. I did think it was just a weird mix of funny and dark.
Yeah.
Almost unintentionally, because it was more like the reactions that one character in particular has to the horrible things that are happening are like, you're pretty chill about all this, actually. Yeah. Like, you're just kind of carrying on with, I know that things are getting pretty twisted for you down the line by the end of the movie, but it's like, wow, you're handling this okay. Mm-hmm. You're doing all right, aren't you? You've seen some stuff in your life, I'm thinking. It was an interesting twist on the home invasion aspect, almost like the Don't Breathe aspect of things, like you went into the wrong house, sort of thing. And just the general concept of it all. I think I would have liked to have seen, I think the disconnect that I didn't feel much connection to the characters themselves. And I'm intentionally not telling people what the twist of the movie is, like what the hook of it is. You find out
very
soon
quickly.
Enough. And frankly, if you watch the trailer, you will.
Yeah, so
but I'm going to leave that. Yeah, so I'm going to leave that up to you to go watch the trailer. It's that I just didn't feel a connection to the people that much. Like, there was a little bit of backstory set up, but it's like, okay, you're still thieves. Like, you're just picking a nice reason for me to support thieves. And the hook of the dinner party, I would like to have seen more of that. Like, where did they come from? Like, what, or just something, some little nod to, and this is how I met you, and stuff like that. Like, there would have been like little things that would have kind of helped me connect, because, you know, with the exception of Lance Reddick, they're horrible rich white people. And there was like four characters. I couldn't tell the difference between which one was which. At one point, I'm like, I'm not sure who's doing a thing right now. He's an asshole, but I don't know which one. So like a little bit more of that would have been helpful. But otherwise, yeah, it was just kind of a fun little twisted, weird thing. And if you miss Lance Reddick, go watch some John Wick movies, go watch Fringe, and go watch Monster Party.
I will say, though, like, I think that the characters, and you said it already, I'm pretty sure the characters, you were not supposed to like them. Like, they...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they painted a picture trying to give a sob story, but it's just kind of like, even the opening scene, you already see what they're about. And another actress that I really like, I really love Robin Tooney. So to see her, I think she's just incredible. But yeah, just to see her in this type of role, and like, she kept her cool the whole time. And like, I don't know, I like the buildup. And I don't remember the director's name, but he always has like with his movies, they always have like a little, even though they like horror, there's like an action tone to it, because he directed this other movie called Drifter. That's not straight horror, but okay. All right, that's a rabbit hole, but yeah.
No, that was a good point with Robin Tooney. Like, extra props to her.
Yeah.
Like, she's actually portrays the most emotion by far in this movie. Like, just preparing for the dinner party, like, just watching her face, like, the excited, scared, sad, terrified, like, not sure, just a mess. She's just a mess, which was perfect for her character. And then I watched 2023's Horror in the High Desert 2, Minerva, which I rented on VOD. It was like $1.99 for a standard definition or something. In 2018, a string of tragedies unfolded in northeastern Nevada. A woman was found dead and another would vanish along the same stretch of remote highway.
Could these events be linked to the 2017 disappearance of outdoorsman Gary Hinge?
All right, Megan, why this one?
Why not? I feel like it's pretty obvious. I feel like it's pretty obvious. But I also wanted to know if you find it as scary as Twitter seems to find it.
Interesting. So I will... I had a few things about this movie. One, I got hung up on Minerva because that was actually the name of a project I was working on before I left my day job.
Oh, wow.
Like, Minerva? How is this associated with my job? it's a person's name, spoilers. And the other part was it almost felt like a completely different movie from the first one. Like, it's very strange. It's only very loosely connected.
Mm-hmm.
It is. But I was literally, I hadn't seen the first one in a while.
Mm-hmm.
So I rented this and I watched it and I was pretty confused.
Okay.
About what was happening. So I went back and I watched the original on Tubi and then I watched this one again.
Oh, wow.
And
okay.
I was like, okay, so what this is for people who might have seen or who have seen Horror in the High Desert and they haven't seen this one, go into this as world building. They're building the world of like this location and kind of this place. You're not getting an extenuation of the first movie, which is a really bold take, because the first movie ends with like these captions saying, and filmmakers believe they found the answer, we will release the truth in 2022. Mm-hmm. Or whatever, and then we get this, and this is not that. This is not the answer to the first one, which they kind of set up a third one, which I'm guessing is going to kind of pull it all together. All that said, as a standalone, this is a great found footage movie. Like, this is really, really strong. And the scares themselves, for me, are right in my wheelhouse. I love it. People who like classic creepypastas like Normal Porn for Normal People or Stinson Beach or Butcherface, which are like these classic no sleep stories. And
these are great titles.
Oh, they are. And they're fantastic stories. Normal Porn for Normal People is one of my all-time favorite creepypastas. But like, so it has that very classic feel because there's like some VHS recordings that are first person, but you're not, and you're hearing these weird sounds and you're not quite sure what you're looking at. And then like, who's that woman? What's happening over there? Like, what? Wait, what? Why is that? Like, it's just a lot of questions.
Can I ask if you... get pulled into the scares and the format that you, or do you ever get pulled out of it? Like, this is pseudo documentary format, right? It's like you're watching an unexplained mystery kind of unfold. And so some of the talking heads in this, like there's the crazy neighbor guy who just talks about hearing an owl and goes outside to throw a rock at the tree it's in. What? Uh-huh.
Yeah,
I was so distracted by this guy that he became a whole separate. I like somebody explain him to me. I need a bio. Do a whole fake Blair Witch style website with this person, because that's a character.
Yes. So that guy was weird. The way I kind of interpreted the neighbor character is Minerva, who is kind of the point of this documentary. For like half of it.
Yeah.
You know, which it's not all about this woman. It's just kind of about the things that kind of happen in this area.
It's about Horror in the High Desert.
It's Horror in the High Desert. And it's more that she mentions this crazy neighbor that talked to her.
Yeah.
So I think the filmmaker's like, well, let's show the crazy neighbor and show he's not crazy. He's just a little bit weird because he lives out there by himself.
Yeah.
I think that's more the point, that like he isn't a part of this.
No, but I could not get over, if I hear an owl in a tree, my first instinct is to not go throw rocks. Outside.
It seems like a weird thing to do when you live out in the desert and there's random wildlife. So, yeah.
I'm just curious if you ever get distracted by that type of thing or if it's just me. I'm totally.
Yeah. You know, I watch so much found footage and pseudo documentary stuff that I'm kind of used to characters like that happening.
The characters. Yeah. Okay.
I was really more kind of interested in seeing where it was going. And there is definitely some night vision POV that happens within this.
A lot
that's
of creepy
very,
stuff.
Very, very effective.
Very it's, creepy stuff. Yeah.
Okay, so and you guys are saying that I should watch it.
Yeah, it's really short too. Really short.
Yeah, it's like 75 minutes or something. Yeah. And you don't need to watch the first one.
Okay.
Like, you can, but I honestly...
What would your life look like if fear was not an option? Find out in the new series, Them, The Scare. It's an all-new installment of the horror anthology now streaming only on Prime Video. The series takes place in Los Angeles in the early 90s, with the city on the edge of complete chaos. Deborah Iorinde returns this season as LAPD homicide detective Don Reeve, who's been assigned to solve a new case that has left even the most hardened detectives shaken, to find the Southside Slayer. As she gives everything to uncover the truth, something horrific and supernatural begins to haunt her and her family. Them, The Scare features the legendary Pam Grier, Luke James, Wayne Knight, plus many more, and is sure to keep you guessing at every turn. Horror fans, get ready for your new obsession. This is something you do not want to miss. And remember, fear is not an option. Watch Them, The Scare on Prime Video, now streaming.
Any questions you have watching the second one aren't going to be answered by the first one. It's just kind of this place in the high desert. So I really like it as a standalone film. I'm curious to see what universe they're building with all this. But the filmmaking choices they had about focus and like, what do you see and what don't you see, I think was excellent. It really worked for me. It created some brilliant tension. Again, I was just more confused. I just needed two watches because I'm like, are we going to talk about Gary? Like, what happened to him? No. Okay. We're going to talk about someone else. All right.
Gary.
So yeah, I was a little confused by all that. But I really enjoyed it. It's totally worth the rent. I recommend it.
Good deal.
How about you, Megan?
Well, not to derail with a slight bit of, I guess, self-promotion, but I run...
Self-promote.
I run Bloody Disgusting's newsletter, which goes out every Thursday. And if you are a subscriber, I predicted this. I laid out... what I thought A24 was going to do in terms of an April Fool's prank, and it came to pass. So Alamo Drafthouse announced the week before, so not last week, but the week before, that they were doing at select Alamo Drafthouse locations, they were going to screen a Midsommar director's cut, in tying with Stefan's question there from the top. But they were going to be screening Midsommar, the director's cut. Then you get a tiny little sample of Beau's Afraid if you attended. The things that were cluing me in that this was going to be an April Fool's gag is, you know, it was food and beverage was going to be included in this ticket price. And it was sponsored by MW, which is the fictional company within Beau's Afraid. So like certain...
Holy crap.
Certain things. Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, this isn't going to be Midsommar, the director's cut, is it? No. So they, right before it was set to begin, they had Ari Aster simulcast. He was in the Brooklyn location, so all of the theaters had him simulcast. And Joaquin Phoenix was there, and they were like, you know, surprise, you're seeing Beau is Afraid, the first audience to ever see it. So I saw Beau's Afraid.
Awesome.
Which is 3 hours long, the length of Midsommar, the director's cut. So it stars Joaquin Phoenix, obviously. It is about Beau. He learns that his mother has died, even though he's very anxious. He sees a therapist. He's on prescription meds. Doesn't really want to go home, but now he has to because mom died. So he faces his fears and embarks on this bizarre Freudian odyssey. Back home. This is not horror, but there's a lot of horror in it because it is from Ari Aster, who cannot just do a simple dark comedy. It is it is bizarre. I have seen imagery in this movie that I don't think I will ever see again. Very Freudian, very, it's like literally I do not envy the person who has to categorize the genre of this movie because it is everything. It is violent. It is darkly funny. It goes off into some really nice kind of fantasy. very violent sometimes, a lot of horror moments. So it's literally it's a genre bender. It's definitely such an interesting, surreal, almost experimental type journey that it's 100% going to be probably his most divisive yet, which meant that I loved it, clearly. So yeah, that was a good time. A very I like this type of April Fool's joke or April Fool's prank. Like, more of this. Give me happy surprises. And then other than that, I have been playing Resident Evil 4, the remake that just released. I'm playing it on PlayStation 5, but it's on like Xbox and Steam and all of your usual suspects. And it's a remake of the 2005 game. And the plot is U.S. agent Leon Kennedy. He gets sent overseas to rescue the president's daughter from the mysterious Los Illuminados cult. And this game is terrifying. I feel like most horror games are terrifying because you're immersed in the terror. But
yeah,
the new graphics, and they've given some like new updates to the gameplay, which means that a lot of the stuff that wasn't scary then is a lot scarier now. Like, a suit of armor isn't scary, but when you can't fight back except you just shine a light, like a lantern, on them and they freeze and then they chase you the moment you turn around. Like, that's intense. So, yeah, that's what I've been doing.
All right, Dina, what have you been up to?
I checked out Calvaire, a.k.a. The Ordeal it's from 2004 on DVD, because sadly, it is not streaming anywhere.
That's crazy.
So basically, a few days before Christmas, a traveling entertainer is stuck in a nightfall in a remote, woody, swampy region when his van breaks down. And then this old man, he's, you know, looking for his lost dog. He decides to, you know, take him in and stuff. But yeah, I recently talked about this movie on TikTok. I was talking about movies that make my armpits sweaty. And
like that video.
This one is one of them. I mean, completely soiled. So I only watched this movie twice. The first time when it first came. Whatever. Okay, we all sweat. The
completely first time completely soiled.
Yeah. That word soiled fun. But no, yeah, I watched it.
And this is the time of the podcast where John starts sweating.
Every week, we now know that John gets completely soiled.
You get soiled?
Oh, God.
Gosh, sometimes that happens to me when we have to, like, play, like, trivia games.
Oh, God.
Please, God.
I was literally just talking about this to somebody last week. Oh, my gosh.
It's horrible. I can't. Like, I was trying to play, Monopoly with my niece this past weekend, and you know, she started, and I got overwhelmed in my properties. Yeah. So
my
properties.
Trace Thurman of the Horror Queers podcast asked, like, how you do with video games, because he's like, maybe we should invite her to play Mario Party. I'm like, Trace, she can't even do horror movie trivia without getting really anxious. So I'm not sure that's gonna work out for you.
Yeah, like, remember when we played The Last of Us? I was so
Among Us.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's so different than The Last of Us.
I know. It has us in it, though. Same thing.
Yes. And the way she threw me under the bus for that, out of fear. Yes.
I was so scared. Like, oh my god. You know how, like, little kids, like, you know, sometimes they just, like, lie and stuff. I just couldn't do it. Like, it's just, I get so overwhelmed. So, but yeah, this is the movie that does that. And the first time I watched it, it was, like, in the early 2000s, like, around the time when it first was released. And then I recently watched it again last week because I watched it with my boo. And yeah, so basically you feel so bad for this guy. Like, he is just stuck in this gloomy, grim town, and it's just one of the most disturbing movies that I've ever seen. And it's like, it's like very much like a French movie, you know, like their extremity type of movies and everything. But for me, there was just something about it. Like, for years, it just kind of, like, stuck with me. And this is also the type of movie where it's like, I don't know if I can recommend it, but if you want to experience something like this, check it out. If you want your pits to be sweaty for some reason, I never intentionally go into a movie wanting, oh, I want my armpits to be. No, I really don't, you know. But yeah, if you want, you could check it out. I know that you can easily find like the DVD like on eBay or even like Amazon Prime for a couple of dollars or whatever. Oh,
I'm trying to see you guys through tears right now.
It's I don't know. Okay. But yeah, then the other movie I checked out, I watched The Harbinger from 2022. I was gonna say 2022 again, but it's on Tubi. There are two movies called The Harbinger that came out in 2022, but this one is directed by Andy Mitten. Monique ventures out of quarantine to visit an old friend who's plagued by nightmares. She finds herself drawn into a hellish dreamscape where she must face her greatest fear or risk having never existing at all. So hands down, this is probably one of the best indie movies I've ever checked out. I absolutely love indie horror. And this movie like creeps me out. I found myself still thinking about it. I first watched it a couple of weeks ago, but I decided to like, you know, razzle dazzle and rewatch it again. And I really love the director, Andy Mitten. I watched some of his previous stuff and his stuff to me is always on point, but he really knows how to create fear with a very limited budget. And he showcased like true loneliness, especially during quarantine in this movie, you know? So yeah, it's like one of these movies again, where it's like the imagery I feel like is pretty creepy. I love like the storyline. You basically have this one woman who's having nightmares and she's unable to wake up from it really. So then she calls a friend and then somehow they both start having these weird dreams and it's just creepy. Like, so it's like the dream are like, you can get infected, you know, type of thing. So that's pretty creepy stuff, you know, but yeah. And the dream world is really like awesome. And I will say this, like we talked about the movie Come True. I feel like, you know, sometimes when you watch like horror movies or just movies in general, and they'll showcase like a dream world, sometimes they're not able to always capture it, but I feel like he captured it perfectly. And this is not really a spoiler because it is on the cover, you know, and it is in the trailer. So basically something, I don't even know what to call it. It's like this demonic presence, but it takes the form of a plague doctor. And the way that thing just pops up in the night and daylight, you know, it's just, it's very, very creepy. So yeah, if you love slow burns with, you know, high tension type of stuff, I highly recommend checking out this one. I feel like it's a very smart story and it's just very creepy.
Awesome.
All right, before we move on, what did we watch and how did we watch it? I watched 2018's Monster Party on Tubi and 2023's Horror in the High Desert 2 Minerva on VOD.
I watched Bo is Afraid, which hits theaters on April 14th, and I played Resident Evil 4, which is out now on your platform of choice.
I checked out Calvaire, a.k.a. The Ordeal on DVD, and The Harbinger from 2022, directed by Andy Mitten on Tubi.
Nice. All right. So Miami Vice has been released again on Tubi. So I need help to not keep watching Miami Vice. So Megan, what am I watching for next week?
I feel like maybe you need a horror fairy tale in your life. Have you seen The Company of Wolves?
I have not.
On Shudder.
And you, Zina?
Okay. How about you get something a little demon-y? Have you seen Sorry About the Demon?
I have not.
Okay, it is available on Shudder.
All right, enough about what we've been watching this week. It's time for Megan to bring us up to speed on the news and trending topics in the world of horror. So what's been going on, Megan?
Stuff that makes Zena and me happy, clearly. the first season of 30 Coins came out in 2020 on HBO Max. And finally, season two is coming. Finally.
Thank God.
For real. We have been waiting since 2020. So long. The official HBO Max account in Spain shared a new trailer for season two on Twitter last week. The announcement, it coincided that it's going to be released on HBO Max just in time for the Halloween season. That's not just Spain. It was the Spanish account that tweeted this, but the showrunner confirmed this will also be stateside. Directed and co-written by acclaimed horror master Alex de la Iglesia, who did The Day of the Beast. That was one of John's earlier homework assignments in our attempts to make him love holiday horror. Anyways, HBO Max's 30 Coins takes viewers into a world where nothing is as it seems and nobody can be trusted. The eight episodes. Watch it. But the 8-episode first season follows Father Vergara, an exorcist, a boxer, an ex-convict. He's all of these things. He's multifaceted. He's exiled by the church as the priest of a remote town in Spain. As his past and old enemies come back to haunt him, strange things begin to happen. An unlikely task force forms as Mayor Paco and a local vet, Elena, seek the truth, while reality is distorted by a cursed coin, which is at the heart of a global conspiracy. So the trailer gives you a look. You can watch it either on Twitter or over at Bloody Disgusting. It gives us a look at a lot of the crazy, zany, supernatural stuff that'll be coming up, new demonic entities. This series is impeccable for coming up with some truly unique demon designs, and Paul Giamatti will be in it, in case you need a extra incentive there. So yeah, I'm very excited for that. And we've talked about this show, so this is more Xena and I's news. Have you watched Marianne yet, John?
Nope.
We should assign it. Oh, man.
I know, for real.
Like, split the episodes up.
Right. Assign. Watch the first 2 episodes. Well, I'm going to save that. You don't have to this week, but it's coming, John. It's coming.
Yay.
Yay. And here's why. Here's why you should watch 30 Coins. Because Marianne was amazing, and it didn't get enough attention. Therefore, it never got renewed for season 2. So... boo for that, but I guess the upside is that creator Samuel Bowden will return to the genre with Lionsgate horror movie Cobweb, and they have dated a release for that. It is going to be arriving in theaters on July 21st, 2023. I feel like that's a really good sign to have a summer theatrical release. This one, it stars Lizzie Kaplan and The Boys' Anthony Starr. He is terrifying in The Boys. He's Homelander. They're going to leave the cast. And the plot follows an 8-year-old boy, Peter. He's plagued by a mysterious constant tap-tap from inside his bedroom wall, a tapping that his parents insist is all his imagination. As Peter's fear intensifies, he believes that his parents could be hiding a terrible, dangerous secret and questions their trust. And for a child, what could be more frightening than that? This one surprises me. Of all the remakes, this wasn't on my bingo card. A remake of Witchboard from Dream Warriors and the Blob director Chuck Russell has come up several times over the years. I guess he's wanted to remake this. Now it's finally happening. John's face is so perplexed by that statement.
Listen, that movie is
sure.
So good, though. I love the first one, and I love the sequel. So I'm same.
That was like, both of those were slumber party staples for me growing up. So, yeah, we'll see what they do. But this one is going to star Jamie Campbell-Bauer, who played Vecna in season 4 of Stranger Things. He's going to be in it. I don't know what he's going to play. Russell will direct. He co-wrote the script with Greg McKay. And writer-director Kevin S. Tenney's, who did Xena's favorite movie, Night of the Demons. So Tenney's original movie, it had friends playing with the Ouija board, late night party. They unleash a demonic spirit. The plot synopsis for the remake reads a little differently. So Emily, her fiancé Christian, and a group of their friends open an organic cafe refurbishing an old carriage house in New Orleans in the French Quarter. But a darkness descends over Emily when she discovers an ancient pendulum board once used to summon spirits. Christian seeks help for Emily from occult expert Alexander Baptiste, but Baptiste has secrets of his own, knowing the fateful bloodlines that binds them all to the witch board. A modern coven of white witches, a masked ball at Baptiste's mansion, and the legacy of the Naga Soth, the Queen of Witches, are all part of a dangerous game that puts Emily's very soul at risk. So it basically sounds completely different.
It does, but I mean, there's witches. So...
And a witch board.
It's a yes.
All right, listeners, your turn. What were your slumber party or sleepover go-tos? You can call or text us at 224-475-1040. The number's also in the show notes, or feel free to email us at bedisgustingpodcast@gmail.com. Finally, Xena is going to make all our lives easier in the sea of horror movie options and clue us in what's appearing soon that we should be watching. So, Xena, what should we be watching?
I hope that you guys are subscribed to Screenbox. And let me tell you why. On Tuesday the 4th, by the time this episode comes out, the we Doc Living with Chucky will be available.
We are a cinematic experience.
So filmmaker Kira Elise Gardner explores the enduring appeal of the Chow Place franchise and its iconic killer doll, Chucky. Then on Thursday the 6th, we have Godless, the Eastfield Exorcism. This will be available on VOD. A woman is tormented and torn between science and faith, pushed by her husband to seek treatment from a congregation of zealots. I cannot talk today. A ruthless exorcist will try to save her soul by putting an innocent woman through hell. Then we have on Friday, we have a couple of movies coming our way. First up on VOD, we have You're Killing Me. This one follows Eden, who goes to a heaven and hell party, hoping to get a letter of recommendation to a university from one of the wealthy parents of one of her classmates. But the party quickly turns into a fight for her life type of situation. Then we have Family Dinner. This is another one that'll be available on Screenbox. An overweight teenager spends the holidays at her aunt's farm in hopes of getting help to lose weight. But soon after her arrival, she begins to suspect that something is very much wrong with this place. Then we also have Summoning Sylvia. This will be available on VOD. A gay bachelor party turns spooky when a sinister spirits are suddenly summoned. Then on Friday... Not Friday, Tuesday. I lied. On Tuesday, the 11th, we have Cube. This will be also another one that's hitting Screenbox. So this.
Oh, that's another one with a great cold open, too.
Yeah, but this one is actually the Japanese remake of the 1997 version. Yeah.
We might have an awesome cold open. Go see for yourself on Screenbox.
That's why you need to sign up, you know? See? But yeah, a mysterious cube. Six men and women are suddenly trapped in a cube. It's unclear where this is, why they are trapped, whether there is an exit, whether they can survive, or what the room even is. Then also on Tuesday the 11th, we have Scare Package 2, Rad Chaz Revenge. It'll be available on DVD and Blu-ray. And then also Infinity Pool, which we recently did a deep dive on this one. It's on episode 125, so you should listen.
And that's the Bloody Disgusting podcast for this week, everyone. If you'd like to read more from Megan, you can check out her reviews at bloodydisgusting.com and on Twitter at HauntedMeg. Xena can be found on her own website, realqueenofhorror.com, and the YouTube channel of the same name, or at Lovely Xena on Twitter. And you can hear me on my weekly horror narration podcast, Creepy, where we may or may not be slowly being stalked and killed at summer camp. Yay, Creepaway Camp.
Yay.
Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app and feel free to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at BeDisgustingPod or drop us an email at BeDisgustingPodcast@gmail.com. So for this week, I'm John.
I'm Megan.
I'm Xena. I was going to say I'm soiled, but that's gross, so I didn't.
She may or may not be completely soiled at this point. It's Monday.
Grab some popcorn, cozy up on the couch, and watch something you love. Just make sure your couch isn't soiled. And I'm done.
'Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.